Caves and Prater here, asking the AD with Boise State's Athletic Director Kurt Apsey. We do this every Thursday at 5 o'clock here on Sports Radio The Ticket. A quick note here to the family of Herb Kreiner, former Boise State football coach and administrator who worked with you, Kurt, hospitalized in Salt Lake City, had open-heart surgery at the University of Utah last Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Kurt? Was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
Complications arose. Kidney started failing. His son, Scott, the football coach at Rocky Mountain High School, went down there with his family. Scott has updated me on Herb Kreiner's condition. The blood pressure slightly better. They've put him on a kidney dialysis because there was failure there. And he's in a sleep-like state, but he's not being sedated. They hope there'll be some benefit from the dialysis Saturday. He's hanging tough. Our best wishes to the Kreiner family. I don't know what else you can add, but you worked a long time with Herb.
Yeah, just thoughts and prayers with everyone in the Kreiner family. We're pulling for him. It obviously doesn't sound very good for him, and I think he's 81 or 82 years old, and he's a great Bronco. I sure hope he pulls through it.
If I'm not mistaken, his brother Jim, who was the head football coach at Boise State's birthday, is today or yesterday.
Oh, is that right?
So there's a lot on the plate for the Kreiners.
Yeah.
As normal. All right, Kurt, we've talked quite a bit about the Leon Rice situation, but there are several other issues to deal with, I guess, or to explore. The idea of NCAA tournament money and how it's distributed in units is kind of complex. Prater reviewed it. A 6-year average, and then you get paid in units depending upon how many teams get in the tournament, depending upon how many games they play. We just know this year there was one team from the Mountain West that had one game. That may hurt that average down the road. But does your controller and your cash flow guy say, all right, Kurt, here's what this is going to cost us. You know, here's how this is going to work.
We get that information from the conference annually, and Mike is correct. It's 6 units. It dates back, obviously. And, you know, the more teams you have in the tournament, and in addition to if they are able to win games.
Right.
So you're getting paid for each game you play in. And when you have a number of teams doing that, obviously, I think you mentioned that the ACC, I heard when I was driving over.
Would you like a little share of $40 million?
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. And the good thing about that is that gets paid over time, you know. So it will hurt us if we continue to have, you know, one or two teams making the tournament and not winning any games. Hopefully the Mountain West can get back to where they were 3 or 4 years ago or 2 or 3 years ago. I think there was 5 teams in it. And we'll actually feel the brunt of this year down the road. But that certainly is a concern of Boise State and all the teams in our conference. And I think we've addressed it as a conference in making sure that, schools in our conference are, playing teams with, good RPI numbers so that it helps us in the non-conference going into the postseason. And, you know, obviously that affects how we schedule. And I think you can see Boise State's non-conference schedule over the last couple of years has continued to improve, and that's one of the big reasons for it.
When you guys were in Vegas for the Mountain West tournament, and I know you were involved in a lot of meetings, mm-hmm. was there ever any conversation about the league this year and how down it was and how you fix it? Or as sports guys, you just know that sometimes these things are cyclical and there's really not much you can do, and we like our overall plan.
I think the plan is right. But, you know, you never know. I mean, I thought we would probably be a little bit better this year. I didn't think people thought UNLV was going to be so down. You know, people keep saying San Diego State was down. I don't know if 25 wins is down, but, mm-hmm. you know, New Mexico probably down a little bit. I think it just kind of goes in waves. And, I think as long as you keep your scheduling philosophy, and I think if schools continue to put the resources into the programs, the Mountain West will get back to where it was, and I'm confident in that.
How much is it worth approximately in your budget from conference revenue mm-hmm. numbers for basketball?
It's about the money that we get from the conference. It's probably around 15, 16, 17% of the total that we get from the conference, so it's a good chunk. And now the good thing about, not the good thing, but the fortunate thing, I guess I would say, is that when you don't play as many games in there or you don't win any games, it's a gradual, a gradual decrease because of the way the money is paid out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, you make $5 million one year and then $3 million the next year. So it goes down. It's not such a huge hit, but if you get in a, you know, kind of a habit of doing it 3 or 4 years in a row, you're really going to feel that at some point going forward. And I'm hopeful that we can get this thing turned around.
Do the schools who play in the tournament and win in the tournament get a disproportionate share of that unit?
I don't think so. I think it's evenly distributed. Now, what do you get that's maybe even worth more than the money? You get the notoriety, you get the exposure. You know, the basketball tournament, being able to play in that thing, at least from our perspective, you know, you could say maybe that got James Webb to come to Boise State. That could, you could say that those experiences got Paris Austin as a freshman point guard that I think is going to be terrific. We got a kid, this Hobbs kid's out of Texas. I think all that played a role in that, of being in the tournament. And so there's a lot more that comes from that might not be financial. But to my knowledge, it's evenly distributed. A little different in football, where, you know, if you play in a bigger game, obviously the distribution
bigger
is
cut.
A little different.
Sure.
But, yeah, for the most part, it's spread across the conference.
Kurt, Nevada's still playing in the CBI against Morehead State. They're in game 3 of the CBI finals. They said they were making a little money. Now they had a game last night that did 7,431 fans. Would Boise State, had they been Nevada in this situation, made, lost, or break even money based on how the CBI does things, or is it different terms for different schools?
Yeah, no, the CBI is how they work. It is if you play in the – if you host the first round, it's 40,000 guarantee. And then you got to turn the lights on. So you have the expenses of the game for hosting it, you know, like Taco Bell Arena, we got to pay to use the facility, and then the 40,000 guarantee, and then you offset that by selling tickets. And then the second round is 40,000. And then the semifinal and the final, there's no guarantee, but the CBI takes 100% of the gross ticket revenue. Okay? So,
wow.
I'm not saying we would have lost money, but let's just say our average ticket is what, $15 in basketball. And let's say that you could have charged that for those games. I'm not even sure you could have charged that for those games, but let's say you could. You know, you gotta be around the $50,000-$60,000 mark to break even on one of those games. So, you guys have probably answered that question as well as I could. Can we draw the people for whatever opponent we would have gotten in that tournament? And again, I'm only talking about the financial side of it. And how much could you have charged? So I don't know what Nevada's charging or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, that's a new team. That's a fairly young team. We talked about it early in terms of being a young team who hasn't had a lot of postseason experience. That's probably, was a good decision by them. And obviously it was, because they're getting as many games out of this thing as they possibly can. So probably a good thing for them.
All right, here's a commercial tire text. If a student athlete's injured during the game, practice, or off season, who's responsible for the medical costs incurred as a result of said injury, the university or the student athlete?
Well, as it relates to an injury that's caused by, you know, they're doing something athletically and representing Boise State, obviously that would be the responsibility of the university.
And I guess if a student athlete's unable to play again as a result of a sports sustained injury, will they lose their scholarship? And if their scholarship stays, does it count against the max number allowed by the NCAA?
No. If someone gets hurt, we honor the scholarship, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't count against our, let's just say football, against our 85. So
yeah. I know there's trailing injuries with guys too. Sometimes it can come. Yeah. I can remember some of the situations Gene found himself in about guys with injuries down the road a year or two later, and they've got whatever condition, and it can be fairly expensive. You've got to make some decisions there.
Yeah, you do, and that's tough. I think it's even going to be a bigger challenge going forward, you know, in terms of concussions, for example. You know, when did that happen? Did they come in with it? Did they get it while they were here? I mean, that's just such a roll of the dice. You never really know, but I could see that, you know, down the road becoming an issue at some point.
Along the same lines, the Antoine Turner story came out this week, and it was a very interesting story, and now we know what the mystery was last year. You know, you don't need to get into all the dirty details, but at the end of the day, this is a guy who was ineligible to play football, and you guys honored his scholarship last year, and I think you're honoring it this year. How does that conversation go? Is it a case-by-case business? Do you sit down and we can afford it? Do you sit down and say, this is a good guy who made an honest mistake, so let's give him some money? Mm-hmm. No, this guy's a jerk, so let's get rid of him. I mean, do you kind of sit and have those conversations?
I think it's a case-by-case, Mike. I mean, Antoine's situation was unfortunate. And it was sad that he had to miss his senior year here playing football. But we're so proud of what he's done. You know, he stayed in school. We obviously kept him on scholarship. He's going to graduate. He was there today at Pro Day. big and strong and fast and very thankful for the opportunity. I mean, obviously saddened by not being able to play, but you know, our compliance office at Boise State did a great job this whole year investigating that and working with the NC2A, and I'm happy that it ended up how it ended up. Not so much because of the legality or the compliance aspect of it, but we kept this kid around and we kept him in school, and he's going to do great things, and he's going to walk away from this place with a degree, and just really, really proud of his effort, and we'll be watching him close when he walks out the door.
Eddie Cepeda asks you, Kurt, what are the difficulties in scheduling non-conference games in football or basketball? And you can answer this probably. Mm-hmm. What percentage of the process is who you know versus who needs a game?
Well, I know most everybody, so it's obviously not that. I wished it was. God, if everyone had played us that I knew, we'd never have problems scheduling people. I think people underestimate the influence that a head coach has on the schedule. I think that not that they determine not that they are the person that is making the final decision, but you know, I talk to Leon and I talk to Coach Harrison about our schedule a lot, and it's important that they're involved. And so you got your coach that you're dealing with on our side, and then you're dealing with an athletic director and a coach on the other side. And, you know, do they want to come to Boise? Is it worth coming to Boise and winning? And does it hurt you more if you lose? You guys know all this stuff. I mean, it has a little bit to do with who I know, because I can pick up the phone and call the person and say, hey, we're looking for a game. What do you think? Home and home. What's the guarantee? You know, whatever it might be. But it's so much more than just knowing people, because it really does come down to whether or not, your coach and your athletic director, and in many cases the president, if they're excited about that potential matchup and whether or not everyone agrees to come. So it's really hard, and I don't think it has a lot to do with who you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will just say this: the scrimmage on Saturday is open to students and faculty, and not the general public, because that scrimmage is a week from Saturday.
That's correct. Yeah, so 5 o'clock on Saturday, it's actually students, faculty, and staff. Just an opportunity for our team and our department to say thanks and kind of give them a sneak peek preview. So we're excited about that. And then the following Saturday, 5 o'clock on the 9th, and football's back. Yeah,
yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, at least for one night.
There you go.